Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
Today is Tuesday, December 1st, 2015, as we get ready for week number 13 already, the final week of the fantasy football regular season for a lot of leagues. Definitely can see the light at the end of the tunnel here. It is our Through the Wire podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. I'm staff writer Paul Kelly, along with senior writer Tom Brawley. We do have a very comprehensive waiver wire article up on the site for subscribers. We do like to get together on Tuesday, though, and talk through some of the players that we know that you are wondering about. And we like to go through kind of position by position, run through some of the more intriguing guys. And, you know, Tom, at quarterback this year, it's kind of been like, just pick up anybody and start them, and you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, it's been a crapshoot, really. I mean, a lot of the high end guys that we thought would be good, you know, they've struggled at points, and you know, guys have come out of nowhere here to be, you know, fantasy studs here. It's been a total crapshoot.
Well, at least mention Andrew Luck. Obviously, he's still out. If he's been dropped in smaller leagues, they do expect him back here during the regular season. So, I mean, even if it's just week 16, he's got a chance to help you there. If you have a roster spot for him, he's worth a look. Let's talk about Brock Osweiler a little bit here, because he has played well for the Broncos. 250 and a couple of scores in his first start, 270 and a touchdown this week against New England. And looking at the slate here, his schedule is looking pretty good over the next 4 weeks. Obviously, in a two-quarterback league, you're rolling with him now. But how about in a one QB league? How do you look at Brock Osweiler there in Denver?
Yeah, I think you have to be a little bit concerned about the Demaryius Thomas issue there. But I mean, you know, Hopefully that's just that was conditions. He just wasn't into the game there. You know, hopefully they can start to show a little bit more chemistry here. But you got to like what you saw with Emmanuel Sanders. He made a couple really big throws in that game. I have a tough time seeing how they would go back to Peyton Manning, you know, if he's even close to, you know, not 100% now. So, and then you look at his slate, he's got San Diego, he's got Oakland and Pittsburgh the next 3 weeks. I mean, that's a guy that I could see starting all three of those weeks. So, you know, he's probably the top option out there on, many waiver wires right now.
Yeah, you know who else has a really good schedule down the stretch, and it's possible he's been dropped in your league because he's been largely disappointing this year, and that's Ryan Tannehill for the Miami Dolphins. He's actually got the best schedule for quarterbacks here over the next 4 weeks. He's got three games at home. He's playing the Ravens, the Giants, the Chargers, and the Colts. So nothing scary there. We do have an offensive coordinator change there with the Dolphins, and I think the expectation is that maybe they're going to run it a little bit more, but maybe that helps them sustain some offense here and maybe create some more scoring opportunities for Tannehill, who hasn't been that bad for fantasy this year.
Yeah, he's really it's been ugly, though. It's he's relied on a lot of garbage time opportunities, and that's the
right.
Only
don't
issue
watch the
right
game.
Now. Yeah,
don't watch the game.
Don't
check the box.
Don't
score.
Watch it. Yeah, that's the issue, though. If you decide to use him, you could have a heart attack if you use him during the playoffs, because he's liable, to not put up any points in one of those games. All of a sudden, you know, those garbage opportunities, he doesn't come through. So it's scary, but yeah, that schedule is hard to beat here down the stretch.
Yeah, I do want to mention Tyrod Taylor, because he's somebody who played very well early in the year, was putting up big numbers over the first month or so, then really cooled off. We did see him with a big game this week in what looked like a tougher matchup, too, at Kansas City, really connecting with Sammy Watkins this week. His schedule down the stretch is very good as well. He does have Houston this week. Houston's been playing much better on defense, but after that he's got Philly, he's got Washington, he's got Dallas. So what are your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor? Is he somebody that you're picking up right now, or is what we saw in Week 12 kind of an aberration?
I don't know if it's an aberration, but with the Houston game coming up here, I think he's a guy you could probably, you know, leave on your waiver wire here. See what he does this week. You know, I want to see another good game out of him. It's been a while since we saw him play well, especially since he's come off of that sprained knee injury in Week 9 or 10 there. So, you know, we liked what we saw this week. You know, keep feeding Sammy Watkins the ball. We actually watched the tape of, you know, him going against the Patriots 2 weeks ago on Monday night, and Watkins was getting open. T- Tyrod just wasn't pulling the trigger. So, you know, hopefully they got through to him. You know, last week he threw the ball to Sammy Watkins. Keep doing that. That's his best chance for success here.
At running back this week, a couple of key injuries for the Arizona Cardinals that we will keep our eye on this week. Andre Ellington dealing with turf toe. That is a chance to be a multi-game injury, so we'll see about Ellington. And Chris Johnson, the starter, also banged up. He's dealing with a leg injury. He was spotted with a noticeable limp at the team facility yesterday, so we're not sure about his availability for Week 13 either.
No,
David Johnson.
That could be a 6 to 8 week injury. I think he has a broken tibia or fibia. You know, it's cracked. So that's going to be a 6 or 8 week injury. So Ellington is the closest one to playing. So.
Okay, so David Johnson, next man up there. Look, the rookie has scored in very limited touches this year. He's been very effective. I know he certainly you know, has some issues to his game, but with those two issues and two injuries in front of him, they don't have much of a choice here. He's going to get a lot more touches in this offense.
Yeah, and he's a guy we've been, like, you know, kind of curious about, because every time he seems to go in the game, he seems to make something happen. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, is better off only getting those 6 to 8 touches a game. But you're at least curious to see, you know, what would this guy do with 15 to 20 touches a game? Well, we're going to get that chance now. This is an explosive offense. So he's obviously has, you know, running back one potential here down the stretch. And, you know, this is the, you know, the push to the playoffs here. He's going to get those 15 to 20 touches. And the guy behind him, Stephon Taylor, he's just a guy. They'll give him a couple, you know, they'll give him probably 6 to 8 carries as an early down guy, but this is going to be David Johnson's backfield. So he's a must own. If he's still out there, use all that fab budget that you have left. This is the type of guy that you've been waiting to get.
Sean Drawn in San Francisco is nothing special. I think we'd agree on that, Tom. But he did play 100% of the snaps here in Week 12. He's getting all of the touches there in that 49ers backfield. 20 touches in each of his last 3 games. So he's not exactly lighting it up here. But anytime you have a running back touching it 20 times a game, he's definitely worth a pickup.
Yeah, we were just talking about Stephon Taylor. Sean Drawn is kind of that type of guy. He's just a guy. He's not going to get you any extra yards, but the one thing that he does do better than most running backs is he does have pretty solid hands. He's catching a lot of balls out of the backfield. He definitely has some value for PPR formats. If he's going to play 100% of the snaps, and you know, we've ragged on Blaine Gabbert plenty over the years here, but this is definitely the best football he's played since he broke into the league. And he's getting this, that 49er offense suddenly isn't a fantasy wasteland any longer with Kaepernick out. He's getting guys like Drawn, Anquan Boldin, and Vance McDonald involved. So if Drawn is still sticking out there, you know, he could be your RB2 down the stretch in PPR formats.
Wow.
I know.
Unbelievable. I mean, this guy wasn't even on the radar. He wasn't even on a team this preseason, and here we are heading into the fantasy playoffs, and he is essentially a recommended RB2 at this point. It's unbelievable. Dan Heron in Indianapolis. We need to mention him because Ahmad Bradshaw is done for the year. Bradshaw, such a good player. We like him a lot. He just can't stay healthy, so he's done for the season. Frank Gore has been slowing down. He's very beat up physically right now. They bring Dan Heron back into the mix there, and I say there's a decent chance he has a sizable role right away.
Yeah, I mean, Gore looked terrible last week. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And they like Heron. It was kind of curious. They decided they wanted to give the rookie a chance to play right away, Josh Robinson, and you know, out of training camp there, so they let him loose and ended up in Buffalo, Dan Heron here. But Josh Robinson proved that he couldn't, you know, he wasn't ready for the bright lights. So they practice squad him, picked up Bradshaw. Well, Bradshaw's hurt. Let's bring Dan Heron back, who just happened to be cut by the Bills. you know, if he plays, he's another one of these guys. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. You know, Hasselbeck, you know, he's done a good job. But he's not going to push the ball down the field. He's going to check it down. You know, he's not going to be afraid to get it to his running backs here. We saw Frank Gore lead them in receiving 2 weeks ago. So, you know, if Heron is, you know, forced to play 30 to 40% of the snaps the next week or two, you know, he has some, you know, a flex appeal apparent, you know, it's not inconceivable here.
Yeah. One more guy I do want to mention, and we touched on it briefly. Offensive coordinator change in Miami, Bill Lazor out. Part of the reason he's out, obviously the offense hasn't been performing well, but part of the reason he's out is that Dan Campbell wanted more of a commitment to the run. Bill Lazor wasn't doing it. The team ran it just 9 times this past week. So I do want to mention Jay Ajayi for the Dolphins. I know Lamar Miller is there. He's the starter and all that. But Ajayi has looked good in his limited touches. He is the number 2 running back there with the Dolphins. And if they are indeed going to lean a bit more on the running game here, Ajayi's got a chance to do something moving forward.
Yeah, and I'd also note that, you know, we've liked Lamar Miller, but for whatever reason, the Dolphins just haven't liked him over the last 4 years. He's a free agent after this year. You know, they might be moving on. You know, they might just let him walk here. And Ajayi is a rookie that they like, awfully talented. He just fell in the draft because he had a knee issue that, you know, could hinder his long-term success. But Ajayi could be their lead back next year. So, you know, maybe they take the last couple weeks. They lost again. They're at 4-7. So, you know, maybe they take the last couple weeks here to evaluate, you know, some of the young talent they have left on their team, which is, you know, why we like a young receiver on their roster right now, too, as a fantasy waiver wire option here, too.
Somebody else who may be available on your wire, the number 1 wide receiver in fantasy football over the last 3 weeks, Tom, and that's Doug Baldwin for the Seattle Seahawks. I know, and I've never been a fan of Baldwin on my fantasy teams just because he puts together these games where he'll catch 7 for 100 and a touchdown or 2 or more, and then he can follow that up with 2 for 27 the very next week. But look, last 3 weeks, at least 6 receptions. He's got 4 touchdowns in his last 3 games. And now with Jimmy Graham done for the season, that could mean even more looks for Doug Baldwin. And, you know, frankly, Russell Wilson was not playing great earlier in the year. He's really rolling now. So Doug Baldwin, is he a must own right now?
He's definitely a must own. Like you said earlier, though, he could scare you in the fantasy playoffs, you know, by putting up a dud, but, you know, we like what we've seen from the Seahawk offense lately. I mean, they were scary earlier in the year, but now all of a sudden they have a running game with Thomas Rawls. Their offensive line seems to be coming together here a little bit. And, you know, Wilson's, you know, actually playing from the pocket a little bit more and, you know, making some, you know, quicker decisions. So, you know, all of a sudden this offense is starting to get going here a little bit. So, you know, Baldwin is that, you know, he's that type of guy that, you know, you'd love to stick in your wide receiver 3 spot and, you know, just hope that he goes off.
Devontae Parker, Miami Dolphins. He's done nothing all year, but in week 12, he got an opportunity to play, caught 4 balls, 80 yards, and did get his first professional touchdown. And Rishard Matthews is on the shelf right now, dealing with a chest and rib injury. He's not going to play this week. And again, offensive coordinator change there. We'll see what that means. But Devontae Parker finally doing something for fantasy. Looks like he's got an opportunity at least in week 13 to see some more snaps.
Yeah, and he was the guy I was talking about with Ajayi there. This could be evaluation time here in Miami. You know, Rishard Matthews, you know, he's a nice player, just a guy, though. You know, and now he has a rib injury here. He could be out. You know, it's not sounding great for this week, and it could be a multi-week injury. Greg Jennings is old, so, you know, why would you play, you know, elevate a guy like that over, you know, a rookie? So it's looking like Parker could see 60, 70, you know, plus percent of the snaps here. So I'm not counting on him in fantasy lineups, but, you know, he's definitely worth, you know, an ad. You pick him up here in week 13 and, you know, maybe something starts to click here and, you know, maybe by week 15 or 16, he's usable for a fantasy lineup.
How about Dontrell Inman in San Diego? Malcolm Floyd did return for the Chargers this week. Didn't do much, just had one catch on 4 targets. Dontrell Inman, on the other hand, 5 for 65 and a touchdown there. And look, the Chargers haven't been able to run it much at all this year. Phillip Rivers has been great. They've been throwing it a ton. And Inman is somebody who I think at least has a chance to do something every week.
Yeah, Malcolm Floyd, I mean, they're going to give him some chance. You know, he's retiring this year, and they want him to go out in style, but I mean, that's a tough injury to play through. You know, they're probably going to limit his snaps going forward unless his torn labrum here all of a sudden, you know, drastically heals up here. So Inman's going to get his chances. You know, Rivers went back to throwing it a ton last week. They haven't been able to run the ball all year. So, you know, Inman could be a guy that sticks around and, you know, he can put up these 5-for-50 or 5-for-60 lines. And, you know, that can be useful off your bench.
Seth Roberts for the Oakland Raiders is somebody that I know fantasy owners are wondering about because he's been kind of coming on here at least 50 receiving yards now in three of his last four games, had a big game this past week, went over 100 yards, couple of TDs there. Obviously, he's third in the pecking order behind Crabtree and Cooper, but Derek Carr's been putting up numbers pretty much all season long, and Seth Roberts is at least in the mix, but how confident are you that he's somebody that you can really count on to contribute here on a weekly basis?
Nah, I'm not banking on it either. You know, he's kind of in that Devontae Parker, you know, pick him up now and you hope that he maybe can contribute here. You want to see another good game or two out of him here. But we do have to give him credit. He does have 50-plus receiving yards in three of his last four games. So he has been relevant, and he's been playing 50 to 60% of the snaps here. So, you know, Derek Carr's looked a little shakier of late, but – you know, he's proven that he's a top 10, top 15 type quarterback already. And, you know, they don't have anything from their tight ends. And, you know, Latavius Murray hasn't been as involved as a receiver lately. So, you know, there's a chance that Roberts could stick around and, you know, start to catch three or four balls. And we've seen him, you know, he has the ability to get down the field. So he can average, you know, 16 to 20 yards a catch. So, you know, he has some value.
We got a huge game this week out of Marcus Wheaton for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Didn't help anybody because nobody's starting Marcus Wheaton at this point. He had just 45 receiving yards in his previous five games combined going into that Seattle game, and he ended up with more than 200 yards and a TD on the day. So there you go. But what do you do here? Obviously, it's a monster game. Is he somebody that you ignore this week and let somebody else in your league pick him up?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing with him. That was simply a function of that game. You know, Ben Roethlisberger threw it to the open guy simply. Sherman was blanketing Brown, and, you know, they decided to use two guys on Martavis Bryant a lot of the time. So the middle of the field was open. And, you know, maybe if I was in a very deep, maybe 14, 16 team league, maybe I'd consider him. But the only way I'm doing it is if Heath Miller is out of the lineup again. Because we did see Wheaton. He was a little more involved after Heath got – I think he got injured pretty early in the third quarter of that game. So, you know, Wheaton has a better chance if Heath Miller is out of line.
One more guy I do want to mention, and I'm doing it kind of reluctantly here, and it's Brian Hartline for the Cleveland Browns because it's now three games in a row with at least 13 fantasy points in a PPR. We go back to three games ago, he had a couple of TDs. Then in week 10, he caught 6-for-77. And then last night, he caught 8-for-74. They do have injury issues at wide receiver, so he's on the field a lot. Your thoughts on Mr. Brian Hartline, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's an issue with the injuries there. We even saw Dwayne Bowe on the field a little bit last night.
Wow.
That's been a rare sighting, but it's clear that Brian Hartline is ahead of a guy like Dwayne Bowe. You know, the Browns aren't going anywhere. They're not going to risk, you know, further injury to some of these, you know, receivers. So I know Andrew Hawkins has had major concussion issues here. So he's going to play. The only issue now is Josh McCown suffers a collarbone injury. It's not come out yet, but all indications are that it's probably a broken collarbone here. So they have an absolute mess at quarterback behind them. As we know, it looks like Austin Davis could be the guy. He actually showed a little bit as the Rams starter for a few games last year. So it's not like they don't have a chance. But, you know, if Hartline's, you know, on the very low end, you know, maybe pick up and, you know, maybe he's a flex guy going forward.
Let's move on to tight ends and a couple of guys that I know people are wondering about this week. One would be in New England with Rob Gronkowski banged up, expected to miss this week, possibly more, but we'll see. Scott Chandler is a capable player. We saw that in his years with the Buffalo Bills, and frankly, the Patriots just don't have a whole lot of weapons at their disposal right now. So if Gronk is out, Scott Chandler's got a real chance to be a big part of what they're doing offensively.
Yeah, he was a big part of what they did in Week 12 against the Broncos. basically Brady, and that the game plan was not to throw at the cornerbacks for the Broncos. So they were splitting out Chandler on tight ends and isolating him on the outside and throwing the ball to him. So they like his size. They, you know, he's not a real athletic type, but you know, if they can get him, with good matchups against linebackers, they're going to use him. And you know, the thing is, you know, the Patriots are headed for probably a 1 or 2 seed here. They're not going to rush their top offensive weapon back, especially after the Edelman injury here and Deion Lewis injury. So, you know, there's a good chance that we don't see Gronk for the next month. I mean, you know, if you're a Gronk owner, you know, it'd probably be wise to handcuff him now with Scott Chandler. I would use some of your budget, the remaining part of your fab budget to go get him.
Yeah, how about Vance McDonald in San Francisco? And it's funny that we're even talking about him because Vernon Davis has been traded and Garrett Celek is now hurt. And Vance McDonald has put up numbers in 2 straight games, 4 for 65 and a touch last week, 6 for 71 and a touch this week. And you mentioned Blaine Gabbert a little bit earlier. I mean, he's been playing decent football at quarterback there for the 49ers. And, you know, he's another guy who's been targeting the tight ends a lot. So Vance McDonald in San Francisco has a chance here over the next 4 weeks to be somebody who can actually help out your fantasy team.
Yeah, and that's the way they're building their offense right now. You know, they're playing a lot of 2 tight end sets, so these guys are going to be on the field. And yeah, Gabbert's playing like a top 25, top 20 quarterback.
Playing a professional quarterback.
Yeah, which is a lot more than we could say, you know, for him previously. So, McDonald, he's going to stick around here. He could be a streaming option, especially with all the injury, you know, with the Gronkowski injury here, Martellus Bennett's been banged up. So, you know, these guys are relevant now. Vance McDonald, who would have thought?
And how about in Seattle, Jimmy Graham, torn right patellar tendon. He is done for the year. So now last year's starter, Luke Wilson, back in that role for Seattle, and not like Jimmy Graham was tearing it up this season. There's actually not a whole lot of production to be accounted for there at the tight end position, but we should at least acknowledge that Luke Wilson will be the guy filling that role.
Yeah, as we said earlier, the Gronk, feel free to go handcuff him with Chandler. In this case, with Graham and Luke Wilson, I don't think it's necessary that you go out and get Luke Wilson if you were a Jimmy Graham owner. Wilson was the starter last year, and I mean, he was good for 2 catches a game, maybe. So, he could have more of a role this year. He is athletic, but I'm not expecting the world from him. I don't think he needs to be, you know, owned if you're a Jimmy Graham.
Okay, so there you go. So there's some of the more intriguing prospects for this week, some guys that we know that you're wondering about. Again, we have a comprehensive waiver wire article up right now on the site, fantasyguru.com. We do update that article on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day, as we get new injury information, as we get practice reports coming down throughout the course of the week. So make sure you're checking that article up at fantasyguru.com. For Tom Brawley, I'm Paul Kelly. Good luck in week 13, and we'll be seeing you at fantasyguru.com.